Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Bibb. Special warm welcome to any guests or visitors who may be joining us this evening. It's always good to have you here at Trinity Lutheran Church as we're continuing through our midweek Lenten series on Psalm 41. This evening, as we come to week number 3, and I'll turn your attention to the inside of the bulletin. On that back cover, we have the summary of our service for this evening. And the theme is soon and never, which may seem a little contradictory, but it will make sense as we continue through the readings and the sermon. As the summary states, King David's enemies said of him, "When will he die and his name perish? Do you have enemies who wish the same fate on you? Regardless of your best efforts to lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, you are pursued unceasingly by 3 dread adversaries: the world, the devil, and your own sinful flesh. When will you die? When will your name perish? Christ silences your foes and your fears and will strengthen and keep you firm in his word and faith unto the end." Our service is the Office of Vespers, as it is found on page 229. And do note that when we come to the psalmody, we'll be speaking half verse by half verse, Psalm 41, verses 3 through 5. Please stand. A reading from Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will give their kings into your hand, and you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The carved images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. And you shall not bring an abominable thing into your house and become devoted to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest and abhor it, for it is devoted to destruction. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Revelation, the 19th chapter. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
David prayed in Psalm 41, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die, and his name perish?" Dear saints in Christ Jesus, King David had plenty of enemies. After all, it is because of David's enemies that he wrote those words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course. After he was anointed by Samuel, which we read of in 1 Samuel 16, and yet but before he finally attained the throne, David spent a long time being hunted by King Saul, who jealously made himself David's enemy. After David reached the throne, he was obliged to continue the war against the Philistines, who were Israel's biggest enemy at the time. Then there was David's son Absalom, who staged a coup to remove his father forever from the throne, which you can read about in 2 Samuel 15. These are but a few examples of the enemies who maliciously said of David, "When will he die? When will his name perish?" Now, given the opportunity, David could have provided good and faithful answers to both of those questions, "When will he die?" and "When will his name perish?" As for that first question, "When will he die?" Well, David could have rightly answered and confessed, "Whenever the Lord of hosts desires it. Maybe sooner, maybe later, but not a moment before I receive from the Lord every day written for me in his book." The next question, well, it gets a one-word answer. "When will his name perish?" To that, David could say, "Never. My name shall not perish." You see, the Lord of hosts himself promised to preserve and protect David's name and memory forever. God had chosen David according to his own good pleasure, saying to the prophet Samuel, "You shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Later, the one true God swore his eternal oath to David, saying thus, "I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me." That from 2 Samuel chapter 7. "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?" Soon and never. David's answer could almost sound glib, so confident was he in the word and promise of God. As David prayed to the Lord in Psalm 119, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." And again, later on in the psalm, "Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it." In Psalm 18, David also declared to all who would listen, "The word of the Lord proves true." Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke through David in Psalm 41, saying, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?" You see, David's words in the Psalms are also the words of Jesus, because all the Psalms are written about him, who is our Lord. As Jesus said in John 5, "They bear witness about me." The Psalms are the prayer book of Jesus. You see, Jesus, who is King David's greater son, also had and still has plenty of enemies. The most well-known of these enemies is, of course, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Death is also an enemy of our Lord, which shall be destroyed on that final last day, the day of judgment. Jesus further accumulated many enemies during his days of humiliation, men who feared his incarnation, men who hated his preaching and could not abide his authority and conspired to see him die. Like David before him, our Lord Jesus could also give good and faithful answers to the questions posed by his enemies. To their question, "When will he die?" Jesus could rightly answer his enemies, "I shall die at exactly the right time. Not a moment before, not a moment after that time decreed from eternity by my Father in heaven. Oh, you may rest assured, O enemies of mine, that I shall indeed die. As I spoke even to my own disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed and on the third day be raised. But you, O my enemies, you shall not take my life from me. I voluntarily lay it down and I voluntarily take it up again." As Jesus said in John 10, "I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father," he said, "and not from any enemy." Jesus revealed this truth also when he spoke to Pontius Pilate, saying, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." Most assuredly, the Lord would surely die for our salvation, as it was prophesied of him. As to the question asked in malice concerning Jesus about when his name will perish, our Lord's answer is the same as David's: never. Father, Jesus prayed, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus is the name of God, and his name is glorious. God the Father glorified his own eternal, imperishable name when he placed that name upon Jesus of Nazareth, the child conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, of whom the angel said, he will be called holy, the Son of God. Our Heavenly Father again glorified Christ's name when his Son, his very name in the flesh, was lifted up for the sins of the world, thus drawing all people, all men, to himself. Jesus is the beloved Son of the Father, with whom the Father is well pleased and whose word we are to hear. The eternal name of God was yet again glorified in the resurrection of our Lord, when God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is this same Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, as St. Paul writes in Ephesians 1. Seeing Christ in the Psalms, we could read Psalm 41, verse 5 like this. My enemies say of Jesus in malice, when will he die and his name perish? To which we could answer, soon and inevitably and never. In the days of his humiliation, our Lord's answers to his enemies' questions were firm and unshakable, as David's answers were before him. So confident was the Christ in his Father's love. Well, dear Christian, whether you like it or not, you also have plenty of enemies. The Small Catechism names them in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. There's the devil, the world, and, as you well know, the sinful nature, our sinful flesh, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. Now, you might have accumulated other enemies for yourself, enemies whom you can name personally. Whomever your additional enemies might be, they all fit squarely into that group of three. Perhaps you've never had anyone say directly to you, I wish you were dead. I wish your memory would disappear forever. But if your child is on social media at all, he or she has probably already heard at least that much, if not more. In the same way that Psalm 41 speaks of David and of Christ, it likewise speaks of you. It speaks about you because it speaks about Jesus and because you have been eternally united to Christ in baptism. Because of your baptism into Christ, because of your participation in your forefather David's confident faith in Christ, the Messiah, you are able to give the same confident and even glib answer to your enemies that both David and Jesus confidently gave before you. When will he or she die? You can answer your enemies by saying, soon enough, but not a moment too soon or a moment too late. For my Lord, his eyes saw my unformed substance. In his book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me. Like the stars are in heaven, so are my days on earth. Not one is missing. You, O enemy, can worry and fret about my death if you wish, but I shall not. My Lord Jesus Christ has promised. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? So our Lord says in Luke chapter 12. Your enemies say of you in malice, when will your name perish? And your answer is never. Never. Rejoice, the Lord says, that your names are written in heaven. We hear that in Luke 10. You shall be delivered, said the Lord, along with everyone whose name was written before the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb who was slain. You can see Daniel 12 and Revelation 13 for more. You are already part of the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, says the writer of Hebrews. You shall not be forgotten. The memory of you shall never cease. Through your baptism into Christ, The Lord of hosts has engraved you on the palms of his hands, as we read from Isaiah 49. Your life and your name shall always be before him, and your enemies shall be the ones who come to nothing. And so may these blessed promises of God concerning your eternal life and victory in Christ bring you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses understanding, watch and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We thank you, our God and Father, that you have drawn us to your Son, Jesus Christ, as we consider his sign of sacrifice and love. Sustain us in our trials, comfort us in our sorrows, and strengthen us against temptation. Grant that the cross may be to us a continuing promise of the forgiveness of our sins as we observe a holy Lenten tide. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord. Again, good evening and welcome to you all on this beautiful night that the Lord has given to us, a night where we can contemplate all our Lord has done for us and the victory that he has won for us over our enemies. It is such a comfort to us even as we continue to live amongst sin, death, and the devil, knowing that we have triumph and peace and eternal salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Looking ahead, of course, through the rest of our week, we'll hope to see you on Sunday morning for a divine service to continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his good and gracious gifts. Just as we have Gaudete Sunday in Advent, where there's a lightening of the mood and we move from violet to rose as the official color, so we have Laetare Sunday this upcoming Sunday, where it is a Sunday of rejoicing in the midst of our penitential season. And of course, the source of our rejoicing is always that very same Christ Jesus our Lord, who has won for us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And so this Sunday is upcoming. It's a traditional reminder, a historical reminder, that we're getting that much closer to Easter. We're not quite there yet, but even now there's just sort of a lightening of the mood and a bit of rejoicing that we'll have on this Sunday in Lent. So God's peace be with you. Go in that knowledge of the sure and certain salvation you have in Christ Jesus. I'll greet you at the door.